This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora and welcome to Emergence News. My name is Nigel, and on the program today we have got John.
Hello.
Come in, John.
Hello, Nigel.
And Peter. You there, Peter?
Yeah. Hi there, John.
Hi, Peter.
Hey, look, it's good to have you guys on board on today's program. We're going to give you more insight into the emergence of the new teacher for this new age. And to quote the master who has contributed many articles over the years to the Sheer International magazine, he says, "The new teacher will emerge, and after him, the vanguard of the masters, adding their wisdom to the deliberations of humanity. All that we hold dear will be held in question." It's a bit daunting, isn't it? Mm. All that we hold dear will be held in question. All that has brought the world to its sorry and dangerous state. So the weakness of the present structures will begin to show itself to even the most blinkered viewer. Most of us understand the cost of war, and we feel ashamed of the waste of war. So why do we continue to elect greedy men who waste our resources, and worse, they waste the lives of our people? It seems that whenever humankind makes a determined step towards right relationship, there are always others who make an equally determined step into confrontation. Other forces threaten peace and justice, attempting to maintain or even increase their power. When we look back on this time, we will see it as a dark night, the turmoil and threat it's very real. As most of us watch and tremble, witnessing with fear a renewal of ancient hatred, thought to be previously discarded and overcome. And I must admit, that's how I felt when Ukraine was first invaded. I thought I wasn't going to experience this in my lifetime, and I have.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? The other thing I'm finding frustrating is that we don't know if we're getting the true picture, the true story.
That's right.
From that global issue, I still don't know if I'm hearing the right side, the right truth.
Well, of course, most of our news comes out of Europe, the UK in particular, and America,
yeah,
and perhaps Australia. But we don't really get a full global news service, do we?
No.
Well, a lot of propaganda going on there, isn't it?
Look, Peter, on both sides, I'm sure. And that's what's frustrating, because as the average person in the street, we may never know the true story there in that. What's behind it all.
Mm. Yeah. The leaders of our nations who hold the reins of power are the ones who legislate for war or peace. So our leaders must be carefully chosen to ensure a peaceful world. We must learn the art of living. We must realise that living is an art based on certain laws. So as we gain a better understanding, gain a better sense of our responsibility for our actions and thoughts, an understanding of the law of cause and effect. So as we understand this law better, we will employ a more careful and considered approach to each other, especially now as we search for something better, as we question our politics, our ideologies, our old way of thinking, our old established structures that don't seem to be working anymore.
They're just not working anywhere, Nigel. It's the whack-a-mole game in your local arcade centre, isn't it? As a race, we're hitting one worm as it comes up and another one pops up.
Another one pops up, exactly.
And we can't get behind the machine and fix the worms.
Because they keep popping up.
Yeah.
So a new realisation that we need meaning and purpose in all that we do is required. There has to be more to life than just the accumulation of things, like the accumulation of wealth and materialistic status. There must be something more that gives us hope for the future. So joining me today to perhaps give us...
Do not look at me like that.
Look, you said last night you're on fire, so I've got... I've got big hopes for you today, John.
I'm not sure I've got hope. I've got pointers.
Okay.
I've got pointers.
In the right direction, hopefully.
In the right direction.
All right, John, what are you looking at?
I'm going to pick up where I left off with our last program, and I'm going to wrap out some more ideas around harmlessness and how we can manage it better.
Okay, so more on the theme of the art of living.
Oh, Nigel, you've just summed me up perfectly.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. We are on fire. Look, Peter, what about you? You're going to take a look at the choice that humanity must take.
This is right. Yes, actually, these are excerpts from Master's Messages. So they've come through Benjamin Krem. And, of course, they're right on the money. The Masters, they know exactly what's happening behind the scenes. They know the choices that we have to make to right the problems.
Ooh, look forward to that.
Yeah.
Surely in our current economic system led by a small group of people without conscience who see no reason to share their wealth, surely the system and humanity are ready for change. Maitreya says, "My presence brings cleavage. May it be that you can withstand this change and accept my light." The choice humanity must make between those who want to maintain the status quo and those of the progressives wanting change, sharing, and justice, economic and social justice. There's some hope for us to ponder on. When I come back, when we come back, John's going to take a closer look at the art of living.
Okay, so Nigel, thank you very much for that intro. And I'm so pleased that you have mentioned that book, The Art of Living, Living Within the Laws of Life. It's a book by Benjamin Krem, and I want to give it a little plug because it is a phenomenal book. And to just tease our listeners a little bit, I'm going to flip through the contents page. And Benjamin Krem deals with conflict resolution. He deals with the law of sacrifice. He talks about the nature of intuition. He talks about the pairs of opposites, and he talks about, Nigel, on page 124, the dweller on the threshold. I've got no idea what that is. However, this is some of the stuff that's in this book. Okay, so last week when we talked about this topic, I started with this book and covered off things like, it's too difficult to be harmless. They so deserve the way I'm treating them. They had it coming, Nigel. Truly, they did. They deserve it. And this inability to be harmless is often driven by the glamours and illusions we hold. Now, we've talked about glamours and illusions before on this program. I've also talked a lot about last week the power of our ability to rationalize the way we behave towards others. We have an absolute ability to soften our view of ourselves. I talked about the justification that comes from our civilization's ongoing love affair with the philosophy of competition. This belief system, and that's all it is, it's just a belief system, it's not the truth, produces many reasons to continue to treat those that you deem as the opposition pretty much as you like. That phrase, "don't take it personally, it's just business," is a justification for so much pain and misery. Don't take it personally. It's just business. Of course it's personal. You've just robbed me of my wealth, my family of a home, and my children of their education. Of course it's personal.
And food on the table.
And food on the table. I then finished last week with a commentary around the strong egos, the strong personalities that we've developed through the Piscean Age. And actually, a strong personality is a gift that can be brought to group work, and then it needs, of course, to be let go, subsumed into service to others. Often that strong personality has been built on the success of competition, and it is a difficult discipline to let go. So I want to wrap this topic up, and it is a huge topic, but I've just cherry-picked a little bit from the book. So I'm going to a section on the book, where Benjamin Krem talks about, can true forgiveness wipe out some harm? Okay, so here's what Benjamin Krem says. True forgiving can do wonders, but who is to do the forgiving? If you cause harm to someone, and of course they're aware of it, they feel it, they know who did the harm, and they forgive you for your action, they mitigate the action of karma towards the degree to which they truly forgive. If the forgiveness is total, if they are so detached that they completely, sincerely, deeply forgive totally the harm done against them, and it is quite difficult for a human being under a certain degree of evolution to do that.
I was beginning to think that. I was going through my mind, how on earth do you achieve that level of forgiveness?
Well, here's what he goes on with. Then they can wipe out the karma involved of your harmful action. And of course, you can do the same in a similar situation to the degree that you are detached. To the degree that detachment allows you to forgive, then it mitigates the karma involved. If it is total, like the forgiveness of Jesus, for instance, who was a fourth degree initiate at the time, it is total. As he said on the cross, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Mm. That coming from him and his detachment is total. But if a person says, "Oh, it's all right, forget it, I forgive you, you so-and-so," then this is Benjamin Graham speaking, I love his language, then the karma is only partially removed. It is difficult for people to be totally forgiving because it is difficult for people to be totally detached.
Especially when you hear, "Oh, okay, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget."
Yeah. Oh, yes. And that look, Nigel, that you've just given
That's
me.
A dangerous one, isn't it?
It's a dangerous statement, that one.
That steely blue look you gave me then, Nigel, I actually quivered inside. Okay, Benjamin Graham finishes with, "We have to be detached to be able to forgive. If we are detached enough, then we can forgive and be untouched by the harm. And therefore, it can mitigate the karma involved for the harming person." So I'm going to finish with, your ability to be harmless is determined by your point of evolution. How evolved or enlightened you are. Where do you start to set about improving on your ability to speed up that long uphill climb? Where do you start to be less harmful? To limit the amount of toxic energy you are currently spewing forth? Where do you start to begin to build the habits that will start to make your life more enjoyable?
Right now.
Right now. It's by being detached. By being detached. How? By practicing honesty, sincerity, and detachment. And this is at the core of Maitreya's teachings for us as individuals. And we've talked about this a lot on this program. Come again? Benjamin Graham says, "The right royal road to enlightenment is meditation and service. Service is your soul's purpose. Care for others. Decentralize, move from self-absorption to service for others. Be honest, become sincere, and then start to stand back from your small ego's mewlings. Detachment is the way forward. Detachment brings about soul contact, which brings about the desire for service, which begets soul contact, which brings about detachment, which brings..." And you can see there's a cycle here, right? And how do we start that? Honesty, sincerity, and detachment.
And taking a step forward. I was just thinking about service, you know, it doesn't really matter which vocation you're involved in, what type of employment you're involved in, there are always opportunities for service. Yeah.
Mm. Service is your
attitude. It's attitude, isn't it? Mm.
It is, it's your attitude.
It's the attitude that you bring into your work.
I am doing this for others.
Whether it's paid or voluntary.
Mm. Yeah. However, if you can't leave what you're doing because the money's so good, then you might need to take a look at the word altruism.
Mm.
But yeah, service.
You said earlier, belief systems.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to just elaborate on that a little bit?
I think the problem we have is that we take a belief, and instead of being a little honest and sincere and detached from it, we consume it as the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
So we take that into all situations,
yeah,
and experiences.
And, yeah, and it becomes our platform for operating as a human. But our beliefs should be up for scrutiny. They should be up for negotiation, and they should be up for revelation, because that's all they are. They're beliefs, nothing else. And when you sit down and write out a list of what you actually know, what you truly actually know, please don't start with, "My partner loves me," because that's very hard to prove. But when you start with what you actually know versus what I believe, there's a huge difference there, because what you believe is most likely to be verified and unverifiable. What do I actually know, Nigel? I know that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, right? There's not a lot more in my life that I actually know for certain, beyond doubt, beyond challenge, beyond belief.
Ooh, that's sobering, isn't it, Peter?
Well, it is indeed, yes. I mean, of course, we have intuition, which mitigates some of that, because intuition works directly from the soul.
Mm.
And some of those aspects, you know, the intuition, we just know that they are so, even though we can't necessarily prove them.
Spot on, Peter. And that is why meditation and service and that practice of honesty, sincerity, detachment starts to bring in that soul contact.
And that's the ticket. They're the two tickets to progress.
Yeah. Yeah.
Progress forward.
Yes.
Welcome back to Emergence News. Look, just before we cross to humanity's historic choice with Peter, I want to ask both of you, Peter and John, your thoughts on this. I was reading a Benjamin Creme book about last week, it was, and there's always a question and answer section in all his books.
Yeah.
And somebody asked Benjamin Creme, how are my Treyer's forecasts so accurate?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Creme's answer was very interesting. He said, because he has a complete understanding of the law of cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of that, Peter? A complete understanding of that basic law that our solar system operates under.
Yes, well, it just shows you that perhaps what we think of the law of cause and effect is not the whole story. It's only perhaps part of it. It sort of indicates that there's a depth of knowing there that we perhaps haven't twigged to yet.
Exactly.
Doesn't it?
Mm, exactly.
And my take on that is, firstly, I want to say that God lives within the law. God is not above the law. And so the agents of God, like Maitreya, like Muhammad, like Jesus, like all of those other teachers and leaders, they understand the law and therefore operate skillfully within it. So that Maitreya is able to predict because he sees things as an ebb and flow of energy. And he is a master at understanding the ebb and flow of energy.
You spoke about that on the last podcast, the last program. The law of cause and effect, karma, it's all about energy. Just as we breathe in, we breathe out.
The analogy I like, and I kind of tie it to humanity's evolution, where we, you know, apparently we came out of a swamp, right? So there we are in this muddy pond, and some of us are closer to the bottom of the pond and living in the mud, and some of us are slightly higher up. And those that are slightly higher up in the pond every now and then get glimpses of sunlight and every now and then get glimpses of the beach that we're all moving towards evolutionary. But actually in this pond, every ripple that we make affects another dweller in the pond, right? And their ripples come back to us. So we're in this shared environment where we're sharing each other's ripples, and those ripples are energetic. So if my ripples going out are harmless, then the ripples coming back will be harmless. That's karma.
That's karma. That's the law of cause and effect.
From my pond perspective.
Very good.
I was just thinking back in 2020, surely in 2020, that year provided humanity with enough food for thought to bring about some radical change. The critical situation on Earth, wars, economic and social injustice, terrorism, refugee crises, especially in Europe, and the COVID-19 pandemic surge was arriving. Humanity was at a crossroads back in 2020. That's exactly where we still are, Peter.
Mm.
Yes, I think so, Nigel. Yes, I do think that's true.
And what you're going to talk about today is the choice that humanity must make.
That's right, yes. Well, as I say, these are from these are bits of wisdom from the masters, and particularly the master that overshadowed Benjamin Krem. And I'd just like to say, too, that a lot of the people that are making these rash decisions are perhaps on the path and bringing in a lot of will aspect and misusing it, obviously. And, you know, the further on that we progress, the further, the more we can bring in this will aspect. And the, and Maitreya is actually bringing this in as well. And so, you know, we see these willful people doing their thing, as it were, and not thinking about the harm it does to the rest of the planet. But
yes, the ripple effect is enormous.
It is, yes, it is. Anyway, humanity's historic choice, the advice and insight and deep wisdom and comfort may be drawn from these articles written by Benjamin Krem's master, a master of wisdom, one who has experienced every joy and sorrow a human being can know. The wonder is that Maitreya and the masters always turn disasters into achievement, destruction into something life-affirming, and what may look like an abyss into a mountaintop. We humanity have a part to play, taking our responsibility to choose the common good. We present the small selection as reassurance and a premise for the sunlit sky of peace. This confirmation, we believe, stands as an affirmation of our true nature as gods in potential. The Master's Pledge. As the dark clouds of war gather and obscure the sunlit sky of peace, the response of humanity is twofold: mute acceptance and compliance with the will of the warmongers, or active and spiritual resistance to their plans and ploys. Today we have both reactions in equal measure. Half the world is caught up in the glamour of a war against terrorism, or whatever else we might call it, without recognizing the underlying cause, and in terrorism itself. The other half deplores both terrorism and the lack of understanding of its genesis. They know that changes on a major scale alone hold the key to ending this atrocious evil, and call to the leaders of nations to recognize and address the inequalities which so unfairly divide the world. Many await the future in dread, fearful that man has lost his way, and that it is now too late to find the path to peace. We counsel otherwise. We know that the path to peace is simply found, needing only the creation of justice and trust. We know that sharing alone will engender the trust, and bringing men to abandon both terrorism and war. Thus will it be, and thus will men respond to Maitreya's message of brotherhood and justice, free at last from the glamours of fear and mistrust, ready to create the future in deed and in joy. Now, this was from Share International, January 2004, and that was just after America had invaded Iraq. So the same thing is happening now, of course, in Ukraine, with Russia invading Ukraine. The same sort of energy, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. Peter, 2004, come on, that's almost 20 years ago. And
yes,
it's so
it
topical.
Yeah.
So topical for today.
Yeah. And today we've reached a time when men must seriously take the risk of ending war. Men must understand that there is no problem or situation which needs war to solve or to cure. And that's just so true, isn't it? You know, it's about time we had, I mean, if we had a United Nations, for example, with a really good peacekeeping force there, they would have gone in to Ukraine back in 2014 when the big division happened in Ukraine and stopped the army there from beating hell out of the people that disagreed with them.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the situation, really. We need a better type of United Nations response team.
We need the Assembly, you know, not the Security Council.
We've got two issues there. Firstly, that armaments is the biggest industry on the planet.
I know.
It's a multi-billion dollar industry. The United States of America spends $780 billion a year, every year, on armaments. That's more than the next 10 nations put together. So firstly, it's the number one industry on the planet. And the oligarchy that run that industry are not keen to let it go. Secondly, as Nigel's pointed out, the Security Council strangles the UN's ability to operate on this planet. And I think five members of the UN Security Council are some of the biggest arm dealers on the planet.
We've
got the arms industry running the Security UN. Council, which is strangling the UN. Yeah.
That's right. Unbelievable, isn't it? So the master goes on and say, the futility of war. When men engage in war, they endanger not only their own and others' lives, but also the well-being of the planet on which they depend for life itself. The earth is plundered recklessly for the metals of all kinds, used in the ordinance of death. No thought is given to the needs of future generations, who also have the right to the planet's bounty. Countless millions of tons of twisted, rusted iron adorn the theatres of war. We've already seen that on the TV in Ukraine, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah.
When men exact their deadly pageantry, and this is the way the master describes it, pageantry, men cannot see or even imagine the devastation caused to the subtle bodies by the endless hours of bombardment. The unprecedented levels of noise tear and shred these sensitive veils. The human frame is not constructed for such abuse. Thus do they do themselves inseparable harm. How long, therefore, will it take men to reevaluate the futility of war? War solves no problems. It creates only chaos and halts the progress of man. And, of course, Maitreya, you know, says all these things. He watches these events with care. He calculates precisely the tensions and their relaxation as they occur and seeks always to establish equilibrium. In this respect, the energies of the spirit of peace or equilibrium focused through Maitreya play a vital part, potent and precise. They are turning the tide of hatred and warring instincts, which so trouble the peoples of the nations. And I think that's a great, reassurance, I suppose, really, although we still seem to be in the middle of this conflict particularly, that, at the end of the day, there's going to be some peace somewhere along the way, and Maitreya is obviously doing his best to influence the people that are in power to do this.
Thanks so much, Peter. Humanity's historic choice as we complete another episode of Emergence News. It's been great to have your company, and we'll see you next time. John and Peter, thanks so much. Good
thanks
work.
Thanks very much.
Good mahi.
Thank you, Peter.
Good, thank you.
All this information can be found on the Share International website, www.share-international.org. And also don't forget the podcasts, which are available on the Plains FM website.
We welcome your comments, questions and feedback. Please contact us at emergencenews@gmail.com.